So, when we came into the book of Joshua, we were looking at where we were as a church. And we had come through the book of Acts. We started to learn how to be a church. We started to learn what it was like to act out as a church, to live together in church, to make decisions as a church, all right? And so as the people, the children of the promised land, as they were brought up out of Egypt, and as they came together, and as they had their ups and their downs, all right, it was time for them to claim the land that God gave them. It was time for them to claim that land, and you know, in Joshua they do that, all right? They claim the promised land, and they conquer the promised land, and they listen some, and they don't listen some. They prosper some, and they don't prosper some, okay? And it just so happens that those things coincide. When they listened, they prospered. When they did not listen, they were pained, or there was great loss, or they death came to them, or the enemies defeated them, or they're moving forward into the land didn't work out. And then, when they would obey God, they would not only have victory, but they would have peace. Victory and peace. Victory and peace comes with obedience to God. Now you'd think that we would learn, not just the Israelites, we would learn, hey, I get involved in church. I get active with the Lord. I start tithing. I start serving, you know. My life's all right. It doesn't, I don't have maybe everything I thought I wanted, but my life's pretty good. And then we fall away from God. We don't do the things God said. And we ask our preacher, why is this happening to me? Why are things going wrong? It was only this one choice that I made. It's only this one decision that I made. And I talked to you about it before, and I told you I wanted it. Oh, you did you? But what did God want for you? You see, our lives coincide with the lives of the Israelites. They do, they do, they do. And I think it's fitting that as we finish the book, all right, as we look at the end of the book, that we simply listen to Joshua and listen to what he says to the people. All right, Tim, can you turn this down before we get the hair? Because it's popping a little, maybe like 10. There we go. Now I can speak up, and I don't feel like I'm whispering, and it won't make that sound when I... Yeah, all right. Yeah. So, church, what I want you to do this morning is I want you to not just think about this as him talking to the Israelites, all right? I want you to think about this as somebody. I mean, I know this isn't any of you, but if you can imagine being somebody who has had a life filled with some of God's blessings and some of God's wrath. Some of life's ups and some of life's downs. Moments where you responded to God well and moments where you pulled away from God. If you can imagine any of that at all, right? And somebody loved you enough to say, before I die, having gone through all of this with you, I have some wisdom to impart. I want you to listen to what he says, not just to the Israelites, but to us. Then Joshua assembled all the tribes of Israel at Shechem. He summoned the elders, the leaders, the judges, the officials, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to them, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Your forefathers, Terah, Abraham, the river, I took your father Abraham from the land beyond the river, led him throughout Canaan, gave him many descendants, Isaac, Jacob, Esau, the hill country of Esau. Jacob went down into Egypt. Moses, Aaron, afflicted by the Egyptians. I brought you out. I brought you out of the fathers. Down in verse 8, I brought you out of the land of the Amorites. Then you crossed the Jordan. This happened. And came into Jericho, and the citizens fought against you, as did the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. But I gave them into your hands. I sent the hornet ahead of you, drove them out before you with the kings, and I gave you the land, and you live and eat from the vineyards and the olive groves that you didn't plant. I set it out for you. I gave it to you. This first 12, 13, 14 verses, here's what he's doing. He's reminding them where they came from. He's reminding them of what happens when they don't listen, and reminding them of what happens when they do. Okay? He's saying, in your memory, burn deeply the victories that you've had, but remember firmly the defeats that you've encountered. And as you tell the stories to your children of the victories and the defeats, learn from them. And always put a comma before you end the sentence and say, because God gave it to us. We won because God allowed it. We lost because we didn't listen to God. We have the land because God set it out. And remind your children that from the very beginning, it's always been like God said it was going to be. The promised land was exactly the way God told them. And they finally got there 40 years later. Guess what? If they had gotten there in 40 days, it would have been just like God told them. If they get there in 40 years, going to be just like God told them. Over the 40 more years or 80 more years it took them to conquer it, guess what? It was just like God laid it out. Can I just witness to you, church, for just a minute? God has a plan laid out for you. And He wants to bless you. And He wants to prosper you. Now, let me stop and put some parentheses here. I don't know if that means money. I don't know if it means houses or cars. Now, can I just say that I don't know if it always means this, but if you go to Nicholasville Baptist or live anywhere around us in Nicholasville, I think it does probably mean children. I'm just saying, for all you visitors here, if you're moving up in years or you're single or you just got married, don't drink the coffee. Don't drink the water around here. Our children to parent ratio goes in that direction instead of parent to children, alright? Around here we count you by children to parents. If you're on a 5-2 or a 4-2, or praise the Lord, taught you a 4-1. I mean, really. God bless all y'all and your children. Alright? God wants to pour Himself out on you. And listen to me. If you decide to listen tomorrow, guess what's going to happen? Exactly what God wanted to happen. If you decide it's going to be 20 years before you listen, guess what's going to happen? Exactly what God wanted to happen. You understand that when we choose to sit and rest and walk in God's will, we will always find what He has out there for us. Do you understand that? It has always been that way. It will always be that way. But Craig, doesn't seem to me that we're experiencing God's will the way maybe God intended if you talk about all this blessing. You listening to me? Now, I don't mean are you coming to church. That's not what I asked. Coming to church doesn't do anything for you sitting in the room. Coming to church doesn't, you can go to McDonald's. You can go to Arby's. Getting up and coming to the place, that doesn't do anything. The actions and reactions, the conversations and responses that you have with God, that you have with the Spirit, that you have with the children of God, that is what feeds you. That is what brings change in you. That is what inspires you. Not the building, not the guitar, not the stool, not the teaching. The conversation, the worship, the celebration, the coming together in the presence of God. And responding. Responding. Taysen asked me the other day what repentance was. He did. I said, that's a good boy. You didn't just say, I'm sorry. You repented. And he wanted to know what repentance was. And Jamie and I tried to walk him through as simply as we could, it being about the action. being about acting differently than you acted before. Responding differently than you responded the first time. Dear God, I'm never going to be drunk again. Ever, ever again. Until next Thursday. Not repentance. If you're doing the same thing over and over again, not only is that the definition of insanity, but it is not true confession or repentance. It's not. It is, hey God, I love you, but there is something that I love more. Hey God, I choose you, but if this other thing comes, I choose it more. Hey God, I love you if I also can love this. The problem is, no one can serve two masters. Do you understand, church? No one can serve two masters. And here's the part of the message none of you want to hear. You, especially you men, don't be offended, men, but especially you men, you get really defensive and really standoffish and really stop coming around as much when we start talking about the things that you spend the most time doing, the most effort doing, the most input about. You get real defensive and you don't want to talk about it anymore. You know why? Because somewhere deep down in there, you know that that thing, even if it's a good thing, is way more important than God. And no one can serve two masters. I got some news for you. Alcohol can be a master. It can absolutely own you. Sex, I know, can be a master. It can absolutely consume your eyes, your heart, your mind, your spirit. It can be what you wake up and go to bed thinking about. You ready? You ready? Come on. Your children can be your master. Listen, parenting is hard. And some days it's a whole lot easier just to give them what they want. Here's the problem. The minute you do that, they become the parent. And that is your job. Guys, you ready? Lift your feet up off the floor. Every man, lift your feet up off the floor. Work! Work! Can be your master. But I'm providing for my family. Good! Right up until there's no family to provide for because you were never with them. Right? No one can serve two masters. Trust me, you are called to raise children, and you are called to be a godly husband, and you are called to bring a spiritual household together way faster than you are called to make a lot of money, have a bigger house, or give them more food. And we get right up to the line. If you think I'm way off Joshua, if you think I'm off, let's go to the very next verse after I stop. Now fear the Lord and serve Him with faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. Anybody remember that verse? Anybody seen that verse? Here it is. This is where it comes from. When the rubber hit the road, and Joshua decided that the children were going to enjoy peace in Israel and were going to live out their days, he said, I realize that there have been some choices made. I realize that you have done some good things. That doesn't have anything to do with tomorrow. If you want to stay in peace, stay in blessings, watch my abundance, see the more that I have for you. Choose today who you will serve. What's going to be your master? Work, God, wife, husband, children, money, drugs, alcohol, sex. What's going to be your master? Choose today and wake up tomorrow and ask that what you're supposed to do. Choose this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Well, Craig, can't I serve the Lord and do all those other things? Well, yeah. Absolutely, you can. You can serve the Lord and do all those other things. How? I wish I had a, back in a math book answer for this one. But it starts with this. I don't have an easy answer. But it starts with this. Cameron wakes up tomorrow and he says, the music program at UK may dictate some of my schedule today, but it's not going to dictate who I am today. Being married to my wife might dictate some of my choices today, but it's not going to dictate who I am today. The Lord and all that He has called me to will dictate who I am as a husband, who I am as a student, who I am as a worship pastor, who I am as a friend, who I am as a human being. You know, people say that all the time. You know, Craig, I'm going to make mistakes because I'm... Well, the problem is Paul addressed that. Shall we just sin more because God's going to take care of it? By no means. Every day we say, I am a believer in God, so I will deny myself. So I will deny sexual desires that aren't my wife. So I will spend time with the family that God gave me. So I will guide my son, guide my daughter, guide the team in righteousness. We make the choice to serve the Master God first. And the Master plays out our day at work, plays out our day at home, plays out our day as parents, plays out our finances. That is where it begins. Every morning, you choose this day. Every morning, you choose this day. Say it with me. Every morning, you
choose this day.
And what are you choosing? Choose this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we serve the Lord. Choose this day. And you know what? After the edge, you do really good. You choose this day on Monday. You choose this day on Tuesday. You choose this day on Wednesday. Thursday comes. Friday comes. Saturday comes. Oh, I'm back. You choose this day on Sunday. Monday comes. Tuesday comes. Wednesday comes. It happens every time. It's going to happen to them too. Listen. They know it's going to happen. Joshua knows it's going to happen. Everybody knows it's going to happen. That doesn't mean we make it happen. Listen. The people said, far be it from us to forsake the Lord and serve other gods! Exclamation point. It was the Lord God Himself who brought us up out of Egypt. The Lord drove out all the nations. Joshua said to the people, you are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God and a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins if you forsake the Lord and serve other gods. Joshua's not saying God's going to give up on you. Joshua's saying you're going to give up on God. Something's going to be too tasty. Something's going to be too tempting. Something is simply going to take too much time. How about that? Does that fit more of you? The day just got away from me. I got up late so I couldn't get started with God. The bills just got a little too heavy with some extra things I added to my DirecTV package for the NFL season. And so I couldn't quite tithe what you asked. Oh, that finger's pointed right at this little brother. All right, so let's just... That ain't for y'all. That's for me. All right, I'm on now from the stage right here. But see, I'm still writing my check. Doesn't mean I needed to add the program, but I did. And my tithe is still in there. I didn't adjust it. All right? Because I have to make a choice where the first bill comes from. I have to make a choice who the first master of my day is. I have to make a... It doesn't come naturally. If you do everything naturally, if you do everything because you feel like it, you're going to eventually serve the one God that God fears the most. I've preached it over and over again. Y'all know exactly who that is. Who?
Self.
Yourself. There is one. God's not afraid of anything. This is just a statement. But the God God fears the most is you. You making yourself the God of your life. I. Rich young ruler, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Verse 22 of that same chapter. At this the man's face fell and he went away sad. Why? Wanted to know what he could do. How he could pay. What he could buy. What he could serve. If you start doing that, you'll fail too. serve the God of me, it's going downhill. Joshua says, guys, don't just get in your religious happy, we're at the covenant place. And they are. This is actually a covenant renewal. They go out to a place where covenants had been made and formed. They're having a worship experience together at a very holy place. The priests, the elders, all of the children, everybody's together. And they're making a new covenant with God again. And then Joshua says, that the people say, no, we will serve the Lord. You are witnesses against yourselves. Your own words are going to come back to haunt you. You are saying with your mouth what you're going to do. How many times have you heard this in our Christian lives? Walk the walk, don't talk the talk. We get to church, it all feels good. We get to camp, it all feels good. We get to revival, it all feels good. Everybody's doing it. Woo! Praise the Lord! Till you get to Sam's Club. True story this week. Till you get to Sam's Club and you're in a hurry. And you can't be in a hurry at Sam's Club because the carts are too big and the aisles are too small. And you see something else you want, and something else you want. And I just went in for eight or nine somethings. And I got all my nine somethings in the car. And I never really was worried about the guy that sits out there and doesn't really count till the other day. When my ticket said nine somethings. Guess how many somethings were in my car? 10. True story. I was going to get the M&Ms and the Reese's Cups and the Gatorade and the Sprite that's all downstairs in the fridge for you peeps. And that case of water was underneath. And she said, don't lift it, I'll get it. She didn't get it. Damon, I touched the tube right about then, said, you know, I'm headed that way. This is what had just happened. I was about 20 minutes behind. I had to go, and I'm pushing a bottle of carton of water that I hadn't paid for out to my car. It's a carton of water! There's nobody else there, and it's not my fault! I go walking back into the store with my head like this. Guy says, did we miss something? I was like, yeah. Get about to the customer service counter, the little old man who miscounted, you know. Thanks for being honest. Yeah. I seriously, my whole way out to the car, I knew it. I scanned it, I'm quick, I scanned it, I knew it. I look at the ticket, I knew it, and I'm pushing that thing going, I can go on. I'll pay next time. I can go on. And I'm glad I couldn't go on. I went back to the customer service counter. They couldn't find it. It was already packed in my car. I wasn't going out and carrying that thing back in. It's bigger than me. Must have weighed 12 pounds. And so she's looking it up. I was like, no, I got the half size. She couldn't find it. She calls the person over. She comes over. 15 minutes later, me and my $3.67 carton of water were good with the lower. You ever wanted to just go, just a little smirk, you go, I think you do that. Anybody ever, come on, anybody ever want to get a little smirky with God? Yeah. I mean, you know, don't you want to do that? I appreciate you so much, Lord. The blessing of conviction. Love it. Can I just teach you something, church? Can I just teach you something? Say it. Say it. Well, what do you mean, preacher? What do you mean, say it? Should we be sarcastic with God? Should we be sarcastic with the Lord? Here's my take on it. If you're feeling sarcastic, you better. Because if you're not, you're lying anyway, aren't you? Remember David in the cave? He's all upset, hiding out. Life isn't going good. Life stinks, to be real honest with you. He wants to whine and complain and get mad, but instead he's like, oh, the Lord, psalm. I shall write another psalm. It'll go in the middle of the Bible. Oh, the days of the Lord are good and rich and holy. I write these songs. I play on my heart for you, Lord. And this went on and on until one day he gets up and he goes, hey, God, I'm a little bit ticked off right now. Writing all these happy songs to you, and you're leaving me out here kidding. God goes, and that was awesome. David goes, what do you mean that was awesome? God goes, that's what I'm talking about. Your heart has been dark and hard and ugly and hateful for the last month or two, and you've been writing me these happy little hymns. You liar. So can I just say, when you're feeling a little snarky, snark. Don't defend. That's never good news, okay? Yeah, don't tell him what he's not. Don't blast him. That's never going to go well for you, okay? But if you're walking out and you got a little bit, dear Jesus, thank you for the water. The living water that made me go back and pay for my water. You're allowed. You're allowed. Did you hear the song? Spread wide in the arms of Christ is a love that covers sin. No greater love have I ever known. You consider me a friend. Capture my heart again. There is an incredible way to balance being servant to a God who is Lord of your life and being a friend to a God who loves you like a daughter. Like a son, and wants to give you everything that he has planned for you. You're allowed to tell him how you really feel. You ever said that to anybody? They go off on you, and you look right back at him like, tell me how you really feel. Well, that's what God wants to do with you sometimes. Oh, Heavenly Father, today I would just tell you what you want. Bless this food to nourish our bodies and our bodies to your service. Who says that? Who says that? Every Baptist deacon before fellowship supper. Everyone. And somebody snorted. No, that was in the back. My daughter didn't want it. Some adult went. Alright. Here's the thing. God wants you. God chooses you. But today and tomorrow, we must choose God. Before our jobs, before our spouses, before our children, before our church. We must choose God, pursue God, chase God, experience God, follow God, rely on God, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Choose for the home of your heart to choose God. This is the way we set off into the next phase. We say, I don't know if it's 200 or 500 people God's sending. I don't know if it's children or adults God's sending. I don't know if we're going to be poor or rich when God sends them. I don't know if we're going to hire a pastor of discipleship or a youth pastor, but we choose Jesus. And we believe in that Jesus. And whatever he sends us, it's going to be awesome and wild and fun and his. Just like us. Awesome, wild, fun, and his. Be his today. Be his tomorrow. And let's jump into the next phase of our church life together. Alright? That is Joshua. We're going to pray, and then I'm going to tell you a little bit about the next phase before we go home, okay?